there, my friend, and welcome to the Ayurveda and Psychology podcast. I am Charlotte Skogsberg, your host for this podcast. I am enchanted to meet and to take you with me on this journey into the human psyche, viewed from the holistic approach of yoga and Ayurveda, and viewed from the modern man approach of clinical psychology and psychoanalysis. So have something nice to drink next to you, maybe a cup of tea, have a seat, or go out for a nice walk in nature, maybe. Enjoy. In this episode that focuses on Ayurveda, I want to continue on the flow that I've been having for a couple of weeks, where I speak about Ayurveda and the modern life, or let's say other forms of healing, and how we might get stuck in the idea that this is some kind of ancient practice and that maybe it doesn't work for me, right? Because this is something that I've experienced over and over myself, trying things that don't work and then being discouraged and thinking that probably it's just not for me. When really the truth very often is somewhere else. And we would like to understand the world, I think, and ourselves from a really binary perspective, right? The black and white. Things just seem less complicated that way. If I'm not feeling 100%, I'm like, what's wrong with me? And I go and see the doctor and you get the question, where do you experience the discomfort? And I'm like, here, like a point at a part of my body. All right, so take this and it will go away, right? That's really how we would like for things to go. But when it comes to a lot of things, really, but very much our health, our bodies, our minds, our hearts, it's just not that obvious. Because even if we live in a world of cause and effect, the cause might not always be so clear. And this is, of course, what we experience when we go from one professional to the next without finding the real solution to what we believe is wrong with us. Actually, I would say that every time a solution wasn't working for me, it wasn't the remedy that wasn't effective. It was actually the diagnosis that was wrong. Everything is good for something, but nothing is good for everything. And we get devastated when nothing we try seems to work. We feel powerless over our own bodies and how it reacts. We feel as if our bodies don't belong to us anymore. We feel helpless facing the world that seems to just not hear our pain. But the truth is, when it isn't working, we're most probably searching in the wrong spot. It makes me think of this story, this joke. I don't know if you've ever heard it, about the drunk who lost his keys as he left the pub late at night. And we find him on all fours under a lamppost, searching without luck, until someone passing by stops and asks if, well, does he need a help? Does he need help? And of course, so he explains that he's lost his keys, but he can't find them. And so the bypasser asks, are you sure you lost them here? And he goes, no, I didn't lose them here. But this is where the light is, so this is where I'm looking. And that is how it feels sometimes. a health situation that feels like justice, right, is when someone is, for instance, reacting to certain foods. And so what we tend to do is that we eliminate everything. Everything that is difficult to digest, or maybe even we don't even know if it's difficult to digest, but that we've told is difficult to digest. Because, well, I guess I'm intolerant to that. I see this a lot. And don't get me wrong, eliminating dairy, gluten, sugar, and whatever else I usually hear tends to have quite positive effects on us, but not necessarily due to the fact that we're intolerant to it. But often it's more a question of the primary, let's say, ingredients that we think we need to get away from is usually part of a lot of processed things. And it's more the processed things that we react to, right? But even so, we're searching under the lamppost because there's light there. And in Ayurveda, we would claim that maybe, except of course for certain specific situations, don't get me wrong, maybe there's no reason that we should be intolerant, you know, towards foods that are actually foods. Gluten is a protein, right? But instead, so what would be in the darkness there? If we react to something, it is more likely that our digestion is having an issue with it because it's weak. So that the symptoms of intolerance are not signs of the food having to be eliminated, but more that the digestive fire or the agni needs to be strengthened. To give you a real Ayurvedic perspective on this kind of enigma, the ones where it feels like you have tried everything, but nothing is working. The ones, you know, where you're doing everything right, but you don't get any results. We need to address what is not black or white, what is not binary. And that would be actually the energetic field. What we would call your pranic body, your energetic body, actually. Because actually, this is also what we would call the emotions and thoughts body. You see, they belong to the human body just as much as the physical. In Ayurveda and in the yogic philosophy, we look at 5 layers of the human body. And I even made a whole episode on that. So if you'd like to understand that more in detail, you can go back and find that episode of the 5 layers, the 5 bodies. And so if the doshas, which is what creates imbalance, right, in us, exists in the human body, they are present in all the 5 layers. And that includes the pranic layer. Our tendency as humans to want to make things black or white has driven us, many of us, into a polarization that we see in many things in the world today, very much so when it comes to health and what to eat and not to eat, what to do and not to do, right? And it's almost become this, you need to choose between a very mechanical approach that's like, if I can see and touch it, it's real, nothing else can be real. Or the opposite would be, you know, let me cleanse your aura. The secret point of view. And what all that is really an attempt of the human mind of trying to just make sense of things, because when it comes to feeling safe, we need to make sense. There's the difference between chaos and cosmos. Cosmos is order, therefore makes sense. We feel safe. Chaos feels uncertain and unsafe. And this is, of course, why fear politics works so well, because during times of uncertainty, we seek the safe option. And actually, platitudes and cliches work really well on us in those moments, because it's something that we can grasp onto. It makes it simple. Those people are bad, we are good, right? War is a bad thing, peace is a good thing. And we can get very caught up in what is true and what is not when things are uncertain. Of course we do, because we're trying to make certain what is uncertain. And with the kind of information flow that we have in the world today, we are constantly asking for certainty with everything that we hear. And unfortunately, it's often become more a question of who yells the loudest or who is using the right words of, you know, extreme words, certain, the biggest, the best, whatever you've heard before is wrong, they've been lying to you, like all those kind of things are these like extreme ways of expressing oneself, which will make people feel more safe, because it goes into the black or white, true, false. And we become so very disconnected from our own intuition that we actually doubt the influence of our own energetic body on the physical one. Isn't that crazy, actually? You can just come back to yourself, right? And let's take three strong emotions that you have experienced influencing your stomach, right? Fear, just fear in itself, anxiety, and in love. There's the knot in the stomach that makes us literally fold in two. Then there's the butterflies that make the whole body just tingle with excitement. And you might not even feel hungry. Or, on the contrary, the feeling that there's a hole almost inside that just needs to be filled with anything that you can get a hold of. Now, if we would go into more subtle situations, more subtle emotions, a certain level of urgency comes from various feeling states. So we can experience a certain urgency in how we feel if there is frustration or worry or excitement, just to name three different ones. And when there is a hint of urgency there, whatever action you take will be colored by it. If you would just become very mindful of any of the activities that you do daily, like doing the dishes, like getting yourself to work, whether it's driving or walking or commuting somehow, making your bed, taking a shower, or choosing what to wear. From one day to the next, if you observe yourself in these daily actions, you will notice that the way you do it will have certain variety, right? It will be slightly different depending on what emotion is present within you. This can seem really nuanced, and especially if these kind of things are not habituated, habitual for you, right? If you're not used to checking in with this, But actually, the more in tune you become with this kind of work and therefore with how you're feeling and what's going on inside of you, you will notice that the less subtle these nuances become as well. In Ayurveda, when we speak of these subtle changes in how we do things, depending on which emotion is leading us, we speak of quality. If I come back to the principle behind it all, the universe is created through the merger of energy and matter. The lifespan of an organism will depend on the state that the energy is in. It will depend on the quality that the merged form of matter is under influence of. During the creation phase, the birth, if you will, of an organism, you need a lot of energy. And the quality is one of action, heat, passion, or even turbulence. And once an organism is starting to decay, to die, things become more dull, heavier, slowed down. And we call these two qualities rajas and tamas. They are the polarities of life, creation and destruction. Rajas being creation and tamas being destruction. Or rajas being action, heat, and tamas being inertia and cold. But the everlasting principle behind the organism, the consciousness that will not be subject to change during the lifespan, is of a quality that is equilibrium and clarity. Now, this quality we call sattva. Out of these three qualities of energy existing in an organism comes 10 pairs of opposites that are the duality of the world. It's the qualities of any organism. They are the basis of the properties of all objects in nature, whether the objects are of material or not of material, so mental and emotional. And these 10 pairs of opposites are hot and cold, wet and dry, heavy and light, right? Static and mobile, and so on and so forth. And the qualities of the doshas, right? The energy merged with materia, with matter that builds up anything that's alive, also, of course, inhabit these properties. So what does that mean for you, for your body? Well, it means that you have a body that is built up of five different layers, going from more gross to more subtle. And each and one of these layers are subject to change. They're part of the doshas. And the doshas have their set points where they are in equilibrium, where sattva or clarity is in control, let's say. And they can move, yes, very much depending on obvious things, but also very much due to things that are not so obvious, due to the quality, the property that is influencing your organism. The different emotions will have various qualities as being a part of the five layers, and that depending on which is dominant in you, it will, of course, affect, color everything that you do. To be concrete, if I am someone who has been diagnosed with some kind of condition linked to an overload of cortisol in my system, like so many conditions today, I might apply all the instructions that are given to me for bringing health back into my life in terms of physiological needs. What do I mean by that? Do daily exercise, eat healthy foods. I might apply all the instructions, but then for some reason I'm not experiencing the results. It seems as if none of it is helping me, even though I'm very dedicated to following the procedures. But if at the same time, the emotions that are actually driving me in these actions have the same qualities as the actions that I was leading that made my cortisol rise that way, then these emotions will color all the actions that I'm taking. What do I mean by that? Very typical situations. I apply myself, I do exercise every day, but because I have this heightened state emotionally as well, the way I'm doing that exercise will have a very different outcome depending on if there's anger, frustration, worry, or relaxing, happy, or even depression. There's a very big difference between getting out of bed, being, you know, already with the whole checklist of to-do, right, in my mind. And I got to get to the gym first because that's the first thing I got to do. I promised that I would keep myself in my, you know, exercise every day and so on and so forth. That is one state that I get to the gym. And then there's the dragging myself out of bed, feeling as if, oh man, I got to go and do this again. I hate this. I really don't like exercise. And in any case, what difference is it going to do, right? Being there, doing the things, but a very heavy sensation is controlling everything that I do. These two states are very, very common. And in these two quite opposite states of rajas and tamas, right, of action, heat, and inertia, cold, none of them, when they are dominant, will be beneficial of bringing the balance back. So the states of your emotions are extremely important as you're trying to heal. And what am I trying to tell you with this? Well, I meet a lot of people who have conditions, what we call often chronic conditions, that the doctor tells them there's nothing we can do about. You just have to take this medication for the rest of your life. And then they're saying, well, it's stress related, but I don't feel stressed. Or I'm doing all the right things and nothing is working. Clearly, this is the wrong remedy. The healing happens on a deeper layer. When normalization of stress levels happens in a society like it has for us, like I've spoken about in the past, we are not even aware of the urgency in every action that we're taking. It seems normal. And when there's depletion, when we've exhausted everything and nothing makes sense to us anymore, and there's that like gray filter and everything just feels heavy, then we turn that into a double bind of I am not enough. There's something wrong with me, clearly, for being in this place. And then those emotions are just as destructive as the opposite ones of I gotta push more. So very often, when it feels as if we've done everything, maybe the secret doesn't lie in what else can I try? But the secret lays in what is going on the inside. What are the thoughts in my head? What am I feeling on a daily basis? How can I find an outlet for the emotions that seems to be grabbing a hold of me? Because this is where I need to start, especially if it seems as if nothing else that I'm trying is working. It's not maybe that there's nothing out there that works for me. Maybe I need to stop looking just under the lamppost because there's light there. Maybe I need to seek into the shadows. Thank you so much for choosing to listen to this podcast and this episode. I am very grateful. If you enjoyed this and you think that other people could enjoy this, please help me to spread the word. Share this episode on any channel that you have of social media or messaging. And even more so, I would really appreciate if you know one other person who might benefit from my words today specifically. Take that 1 minute it takes to simply share this episode with one person. Remember that there's a human being on the other side of your phone, of your earpods, of this microphone. And I would love to hear your thoughts on what I've been talking about. So please leave a comment. Send me a message directly if you wish. This is Charlotte. This is me. See you next time. Namaste.